We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Only Son of God, sent from heaven, hope and mercy at the cross. You are everything, you're the promise. Jesus, you are all to us. Let the glory of the name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. You're all to us. Yes, you . When this passing world is over, we will see you face to face. And forever we will worship Jesus, you are all to us. Jesus, you are all to us. You're everything to us.
Amen. David, that was great. Thank you, Kent. Thank you, and praise team, praise band. Thank you. Nancy, you and the choir were just top shelf today. Thank you so much. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, please. Get your listening sheet ready with a pen or pencil. A message entitled, The Results of God's Grace. A lady was driving her husband's Mercedes convertible. It was his pride and joy. She didn't drive it very much, purely because she knew it was his pride and joy. But this particular day, she was driving it, had the top down and enjoying the wind and the drive and the beauty. She was going through a neighborhood and she swerved to miss a little boy. And she hit a pickup truck. She was fine, except for the fact she hit a pickup truck. And she stood beside that crumpled fender, thinking, Jim's gonna kill me. When the police officer arrived, obviously the first thing he asked for was some insurance papers and her driver's license. And she got in the glove compartment looking for the insurance papers, and on top of the insurance package was an envelope that said Beth. She opened it up, and here's what she read. Dear Beth, if you are reading this, you have probably been in an accident. Sweetheart, I hope you are all right. Don't worry. Don't worry about the car. It can be replaced. Remember, it's you that I love far, far more than any material thing this world has to offer. Your loving husband, Jim. That's grace. That's grace. Now, listen. In one way or another, at one time or another, to one degree or another, you and I have wrecked our spiritual lives. And I want you to know, God has written you a love note. And it says, it's you that I love. Far, far more than anything this world has to offer. And aren't you glad for God's grace and that He can fix wrecked lives? Aren't you glad of that? Well, get your listening sheet ready, and let me give you these seven things. We're talking about the results of God's grace. God's grace. Here they are, seven things. Number one, our soul is redeemed. Our soul is redeemed. Do we not have the PowerPoint? You got your listening sheet, so here we go. Our soul is redeemed. All right, I've got a number of verses that we need to look at today, and so jot these down, and let me share them with you. First of all, it's 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now that word redeemed, that he says there in 1 Peter chapter 1, it means deliverance. It means release. It means a ransom paid. And that, my friend, is what God has done as a result of God's grace. He has ransomed us. He has paid the ransom price. He has delivered us. He has released us from the penalty of sin. And that's a marvelous, marvelous point, my friend, of God's grace. How many sinners do we have here today? Let me see. All right, and those of you that didn't raise your hand, you're liars, okay? Now that we have all that clarified, the Bible says that all have sinned. Actually, this is one of my favorite verses, to be honest with you. For all have sinned and come short. Amen. See, I'm not the only one that showed up short today, all right? Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in this room, and matter of fact, everybody in this world, my friend, is a sinner, and we're separated from God because of our sin. But I want you to know that as a result of God's grace, our soul is redeemed. We've been delivered. We've been released. We've been ransomed. We have been set free. And that is because of the precious blood of Christ that has redeemed sinful mankind. Now, here's number two. We're talking about the results of God's grace. Not only is our soul redeemed, but secondly, our sin is removed. Jot down Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. And look what it says there. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And I've explained that to you before, that it's not a matter of north from south, because you can eventually catch up. And I've explained that to you before. But if you go west, you'll keep going west and you'll never catch up with east. If you go east, you'll keep going east. You'll never catch up with west. It's an amazing thing. And that's why God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Is that an amazing thing? Listen, Kay and I have something. It's astounding to me, and that is this. Every Monday morning, before I drive over here to work, early in the morning, I take this blue canister from my garage, and I take it out to the curb. It's my garbage. Now, I'm not the only one in the street that has garbage. I've noticed a lot of my neighbors have that blue canister out there. But listen, this is what's amazing. Later that day, a big truck comes, and it's got these automated claws on them. Reaches out and grabs that garbage canister, picks it up, dumps it in that truck, puts that canister back down. When I get home on Monday evenings, garbage is gone. Amen. Gone. It was there this morning. It was loaded up. It's empty. Now, when I'm finished this story, you're going to think, just doesn't take much to excite that boy. Because let me tell you, they never bring it back. Wouldn't you like to have a contract like that? I mean, tell you, they haul that garbage. And it's garbage. Garbage. Say garbage with me. Garbage. Ooh. Sometimes it's stinking garbage. But it's garbage. We didn't want it. That's why we put it in that big canister. And that's why we did that contract with them. And every week they do that. They haul that garbage off. And they never bring it back. Give those garbage people a hand. Come on. Come on. Isn't that great? You guys ought to move to Branson where they got some upscale stuff like that. Isn't that amazing? I love those garbage people. I give them gifts at Christmas time. Because they're just good. I'm telling you. They haul off our
garbage.
And they never bring it back. Isn't that something? Now's the time for you to think, doesn't take much to excite that boy, does it? But now let me tell you something else. Jesus Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
And he took all my sins. And let me tell you something. All my sins are a lot more stinking than garbage. But he took all of it. And he hauled it off. As far as the... And you know what? He never brings it back.
Amen.
Never brings it back. He's never said to me, son, let's sit down and talk. Because I want to talk about that sin that you did yesterday. I want to talk about that sin that you did last week. I want to talk about that sin that you committed a year ago. I want to talk about that sin. This is not a Kavanaugh deal. He didn't say, okay, let me talk to you about when you were a teenager. No. Let me tell you something. God has taken my sin as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says that my sins and my iniquities, God remembers no more, no more, no more. Are you starting to get excited? Let me tell you something. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Our sin is removed, and that's nothing but God's grace. Nothing but God's grace. Here's number three. Number three, our self is reconciled. Our self is reconciled. Write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now that word reconcile, that's a big old $5 theological word. But here's what it means. It is a change of one person induced by an action of another person. Let me say that to you again. It is a change brought about in one person induced by an action of another person. And that's God's reconciliation on our behalf, and it brings about change to us. It brings about inward change to us, and that is induced by the action of somebody else. Who was that? Jesus. It is by Jesus that God has reconciled the world unto himself. He's reconciled you and me. He has brought us into a relationship with him and brought about change in our lives spiritually. And he did that as a result of the action that was taken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary for us. All right, here's number next. Where are we? Number four. Our satisfaction is restored. Our satisfaction is restored. Go back to the book of Psalms. Go back to the book of Psalms. This time, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 103, verses 4 and 5. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, I believe it was Billy Graham, or at least Billy Graham that was the first one that I heard use this illustration, but it is an amazing illustration, and it's just a declaration, and I remember hearing Billy Graham say it many times, and that is this: there is within each and every person a God-shaped void. Say that term with me. A God-shaped void. Say it again. A God-shaped void. And I heard Billy Graham say that more than once, that there is within each of us a God-shaped void. And that is such an explanation of why we're empty on the inside. That's such an explanation of why we go seeking after purpose and direction and love and whatever we're seeking for that we think will satisfy us and give us purpose and give us direction and give us a mission in life. But my friend, there's only one thing, and that is a person that will fill that God-shaped void, and that is God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. The only thing that will fill up the emptiness of your life. Young people, the only thing that will fill up the emptiness of your life. The only thing that will fill up the emptiness of your life is Jesus Christ. That's it. Amen. That's it. You do have that God-shaped void. That God-shaped void. And the only thing that's going to bring you satisfaction, the only thing that's going to restore you to purpose and direction and worth within your life, my friend, is to establish that personal relationship that God makes available to us through Jesus Christ. All right, here's number five. Number five, I'm talking about the results of God's grace. Number one, our soul is redeemed. Number two, our sin is removed. Number three, our self is reconciled. Number four, our satisfaction is restored. And number five, our spirit is resurrected. Our spirit is resurrected. A couple of verses to write down. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that word quickened means to be made alive. Now go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, there's that word again, being made alive, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So listen, our spirit within us, our spirit within us, let me give you a real quick thing. I need to do a sermon or another series of sermons on our body, soul, and spirit. And God's word says that may your body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are body, soul, and spirit. I'll just give you a preview of coming attractions. I'm not sure I'll ever get around to preaching it, but here it is. All right? Our body is our earth suit. This is our mobile unit. This is what we move around in. Our soul is the you part of you. The you part of you. That's what God comes to save. He's going to give us a new body some of these days. Amen. That ought to get a lot of amens, I'm telling you. Our body is our earth suit. Our soul is the you part of you. And our spirit is the controlling factor of you. Amen. Again, that's a whole other sermon or a series of sermons. And with our spirit, we all have a natural spirit. All of us do. We all have a human spirit. There is a demonic spirit that wants to control you. And when you get saved, that's what we're talking about right here. When you get saved, God wants to give you His spirit. What kind of spirit is His? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the controlling part of you. And that's why He says in the verses that we just read that God has quickened or brought to life. And the reason He's brought it to life and the way that He's brought it to life is to give you His life. The Holy Spirit who moves inside of us, who takes up residence in us when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to give us new life. Amen. And our old life that is dead and gone, God imparts to us His new life. And consequently, we become alive spiritually. We're talking about the spirit realm here. The unseen realm. The invisible realm. But it happens to you, my friend, when you become a Christian. And if you're not alive spiritually, well, the Bible says that if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. I can see this is not just one sermon. This is going to have to be a series. But you see, God gives you life through Jesus Christ. That's number five. Our spirit is resurrected. All right, here's number six. We're talking about the results of God's grace. Number six, our salvation is reserved. Our salvation is reserved. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Look at this. Reserved in heaven for you. My wife and I had some friends from college friends in our home just a couple weeks ago, and we had a couple of theatrical shows, some of the music shows there in Branson that we went to, and I had called in advance, and I made some reservations. So consequently, when we got to the theater, I just walked up to the will call. And the lady said, how can I help you? And I said, Scribner. And she gets on her computer. And she said, still six of you? Yes, ma'am. She handed me the tickets. We walked in. And we sat down. Just like the ticket said, that was my reserved seat. Now let me tell you something. There's going to be a day when I'm going to walk up to Will Call. And I don't know how it's going to work. I envision this periodically. I'm thinking an angel probably. Ain't even going to have to say, how can I help you? I'm going to walk up to Will Call. And he's going to say, Scribner, I believe it is. Yep. And oh, I hope to see my Jesus first of all. And oh, I hope, he says, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Come on in. Because you've already made your, come on. You've already made your, have you, I mean, my question to you is, have you made your reservation? I could get a little excited by this. I don't mind telling you. Have you made your reservation? And is he going to meet you at the gate and say, Clark, I believe it is. I know it is. Come right on in. Can you get excited about it? And it's all because of God's grace, my friend. It's all because of God's grace. Nothing that we've done, it's all because of God's grace. But in fact, do you have your reservation in? It's vital. It's vital. Listen, you can't get up to the Will Call window and say, now what do we have to do to get in here? Too late. What do you say? What do you say? That's exactly. You're preaching next Sunday, all right? All right? That's exactly. It's too late if you wait till then. You got to make your reservations. And the only way you do it is by laying claim, by faith, to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that's a result, my friend, of God's grace. Amen. I'm telling you, the songs that we heard today, we should give an invitation just after the song service, because we're just talking about God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. And today, this message, we're talking about the results of God's grace. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. Where? At Calvary. Mercy there was great. And grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. That's grace, my friend. That's grace. Here's the last thing. We're talking about the results of God's grace. Our soul is redeemed. Our sin is removed. Our self is reconciled. Our satisfaction is restored. Our spirit is resurrected. Our salvation is reserved. And our sanctification is revealed. Our sanctification is revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through what? Faith. sanctification by the Spirit, and belief in the truth. And that word sanctification means separation. God has chosen you to be sanctified, separated unto holiness. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's a real dilemma that I have about the church today. I'm not talking about First Baptist Church, I'm talking about the church at large. I don't mind telling you, I've got a dilemma. I'm glad God's so much bigger and so much more filled with grace than I am, because I don't understand how we can receive God's grace and not live sanctified. I don't understand how we can receive God's grace and not have a desire for holiness. I don't understand how we can receive God's grace and not have an inclination toward obeying God's word. I don't understand how we can receive God's grace and say, you know what, I'm going to pick and choose. I'll go to church when I want to. I'll read the Bible when I want to. I'll do this when I want to. I don't understand how we can receive God's grace and get a paycheck every week and not even consider about tithing. I don't understand how we can receive God's grace and give no desire and no thought and no inclination and no motivation to want to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and want to reflect what God has done for us. That's just a dilemma in my own mind. Like I said, you can be glad that God's in charge of grace and I'm not. You'll probably chuckle about that when you get home. I don't know how factual this story is, but I heard it a long time ago from coming out of England. The present Queen of England, when she was just a princess, just a little girl, just about 6 or 7 or 8 years old, just young, being cared for by a nanny. And her nanny was bragging about how beautiful she was and about the fact that she was the princess. And her nanny looked at her and got her little chin in her hands and said, "Oh, sweetheart, you're such a wonderful princess. And do you know that someday you shall be queen?" And that's the present Queen Elizabeth II of England now. And it's told that this little princess looked into the eyes of her nanny and she thought for a moment and she said, "Queen, then I shall be good." Wow. Let me tell you something. You've received God's grace from the God of this universe, from the King of Kings, the King of Kings. You're one of His children. You are one of His children. Then we should be good. Aren't you grateful for God's grace? Let me pray with you. Father, words cannot express what's in our heart today for your grace. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace. We understand we don't deserve it, but thank you that we've received it through Jesus Christ. Help us to grasp the results of God's grace. I pray this in Jesus' name. The one who delivered your grace to us. Amen. Well, let me invite Christians just to come and kneel in altar prayer, just to thank Him, just to thank Him, just to rejoice. I want to encourage you, come and kneel. If you can't kneel, just come and pick out a spot, and let's just fill this altar just to thank Him, just to thank Him for His grace. Now, if you've never received His grace, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again, today should be the day. Don't run from it. Don't depart from it. Don't go away from it. Come and receive God's grace today. We'll show you biblically who Jesus is, what He did for you. You can have a faith reaction today. And before you leave this building, you can know that God's showered you with His amazing grace. Got other decisions you need to make, attaching yourself to this church, following Jesus and believers' baptism, letting us pray with you about a particular need. Come on and do that. But I'm going to ask Christian just to flood this altar today. Either stand up here and kneel in altar prayer just to say thank you. Just to express your gratitude for God's amazing grace. Come on.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say,
can't get away from God's grace. You need to come and kneel and just say thank you. Thank you. Out the back. You can't get away from God's grace. Aren't you grateful for it? There's somebody here that needs it. You need to be made alive by the grace of God.
Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Going to sing one more verse. You need God's grace today. First time ever in your life for you to have a faith response to God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's grace alone, through faith alone, as revealed through the Bible alone. Have you done that? Have you done it? We're going to sing just one more verse. Whoever's next to you, they get out of your way. Maybe they'll come with you. But don't go away from here today without knowing that you have personally received and accepted the grace of Almighty God. Come now.
It may be through the shadows dim or the storm. I take my cross and follow Him wherever He leadeth me. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so.
Thank you so very much. Please be seated, would you? I've got about 5 more minutes. I want to share something special with you. And thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attentiveness today. Let's rejoice this week in God's amazing... Hello, what did we just preach about? God's amazing grace. All right, now our ushers are going to pass something out to you right now. And so I've got two items coming to you. And so men, go ahead and do that. Everybody needs a copy of these two things. And so let me share these with you. And this has to do with the week of November 11 through 17. We've got that in your bulletin, a week of priority praying. And we're going to give you two things in your hand for you to take home and to read and to reflect on. And this is a week of priority praying beginning November 11. That's next Sunday, November 11 through 17, Sunday through Saturday. So a full week that I'm asking you that we would join together for a week of priority praying. And this is praying for the man of God. God has the right pastor for you. And I've been bragging about First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove to a lot of people and around this state. And we traveled, we went a couple weeks ago to the Missouri Baptist Convention. And I know a lot of people in the Missouri Baptist Convention, and I don't know how many times I had people say to me at the Missouri Baptist Convention annual meeting, "Where are you ministering now?" And so I had an opportunity of bragging on you and telling about what God is doing. And I do believe that's happening, that God is doing a good work here at First Baptist Church. I believe that God is doing a work in some man's life to prepare him and to call him as your pastor. So I want us to set aside a week of priority praying. Say those two words with me. Priority praying. What kind of praying? Priority praying. And once everybody has these two items, now I've got a card that we're giving you. And this card says a week of priority praying, November 11th through 17, 2018. Praying for the man of God. It's based on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. So you can read and study those. Now look on the flip side of that. My prayer list. So I'm giving you some ideas about how to pray that week. When's this start? When is that? Next Sunday. And it goes for how long? Yes, it goes for a week. Now, if God hasn't dumped a pastor in your pulpit by the 17th, you need to keep it up. All right? But we're just having a week of priority praying. And I give you some ideas. And then I have some prayers for each member of our church. That would be you, and that would be everyone else. And I give 10 things that we're going to ask God to do in our own lives. Do you see that? With scriptures attached to that. So during that week, don't just sit down and in 10 minutes or 15 minutes just rattle through that. Use this as a prayer guide all week long. Everybody following that? Now, take the 8.5 by 11 sheet that I've given you, and it's just on one side. And it says, praying for the man of God. It's also 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, November 11 through 17, a week of what kind of praying? Priority praying. Jay will explain the concept at the end of the service on November the 4th. That must be what I'm doing right now. Prayer cards will be distributed on November the 4th. That's what you've got in your hand. Based on Ephesians 3:20, we will give our all. So what does it say in Ephesians 3:20? Here it is. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Above all, exceedingly abundantly above all. Abundantly above all. I call that our AAA club for Christians. Abundantly above all. And God's able to do that. And you don't have to call on them just in emergency. That's our AAA club. Abundantly above all. Well, all ages. So read that. I'm asking all ages of our church, starting next Sunday, to be engaged in priority praying. All meetings. Now, a lot of the meetings that you have, you begin in prayer. I'm asking you to prioritize that. If you have a deacon's meeting, matter of fact, we do have a deacon's meeting next Sunday afternoon. So, Bob Shannon, we're going to ask that we prioritize a time to pray in our deacon's meeting. In your Sunday school classes next Sunday, I'm asking you to prioritize some prayer according to this. We're going to do that during our worship time next Sunday. We're going to prioritize some prayer according to this. If you have a WMU meeting next week, or if you have a senior adult meeting, or any meeting that you have, I'm asking you to prioritize that. All ages, all meetings, all groups. If you have a group meeting of any sort, you may say, well, you know, just three or four of us go out after lunch on Sundays. Well, then make it a prayer time. I'm asking you to prioritize that. All groups, all members. We're going to ask every member of our church to be involved and to be focused on this. All my heart. I want to give all my heart to this priority prayer time next week. Everybody following what I'm saying here? All my heart. All focused. All focused. Our focus needs to be laser directed to ask God. That's part of what this prayer card is about. Use that to help you through your priority praying. And all week, 7 days. All week, 7 days. Now, somewhere in here, I don't know where I've got it, but somewhere in here, I'm also asking some of you, matter of fact, it's under number five. Number five, all my heart. We will ask to have at least 75 people to commit at least 24 hours during that week to fast and pray for this prayer focus. All right, go like this. Wow. Let's say something spiritual. Oh my. I'm going to ask you to do it. How many of you have ever done a 24-hour fast before? Many of you have. Many of you have. I'm going to ask you to, now, and I don't have time to deal with it physiologically. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say. If you can physically, don't come up to me afterwards and say, well, my doctor says, then do what your doctor says. I'm serious. God knows your heart. God knows your willingness. If you cannot do it physically, you can at least set aside your meal time while you're eating to focus on priority praying. But I'm asking for 75 of us to do a 24-hour prayer and fast. Now, when I do that, I normally do it, I do water. I do water, and I cut out all food. And again, I've heard all of the 28 ways of doing this, okay? You just figure out what you want to do. All I'm asking you to do is let's show God we're serious about this thing. This is priority praying, all right? I could do a series, and I have done a series on prayer and fasting. So we don't need to discuss it theologically. I'm just asking you to join in, okay? That's all I'm doing. I'm just asking you to join in and say, God, I'm serious about this thing. I'm saying if you can do it physically, then do it physically. Set aside a 24-hour period, and you pick the time. We're not going to do it all at the same time. Man, with our busy schedules and meetings and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, So you find out what 24-hour period you can do it in. And if you can physically, let's get serious with God and let's pray and fast for the man of God. Everybody with me? I'm asking 75 of you to do it. And we're not going to raise hands. You just raise your heart and say, okay, God, I'll be one of those. I'll be one of those. And if you can't physically, then you say, well, God, you know my heart, so I'm going to set aside a special 24-hour period where I'm going to really focus on this. Okay, everybody following that? And so read through this when you get home. It starts next Sunday. A week of priority praying for the man of God. Everybody with me? Amen. Ought to be good. And so let's just enjoy that as we do it together. Starts next Sunday. And don't miss next Sunday. Arnie Burke's coming. And it's going to be a great time of worship. Been a good day today. Thank you so much. God bless you. Tonight we have Bible study starting at 6 o'clock. And John Terrell, you still hanging around? I saw him earlier. John's one of our deacons of the week, and I'm going to ask him to come and lead us in prayer. So let's stand together, and on your way out, hug somebody, okay? John, I appreciate you. God bless you.
Message, and thank you for your grace, and thank you for what you've done for us. And let us go through the rest of the week and show the world that we are sanctified and separated, and that we have your grace, and let it be a beacon to those who see us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.